Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and you're probably waiting for us. Oh my. Yes, we are here and we are waiting for you. So come on in.
Well, we praise God for each of you as you're preparing to be a part of this time together tonight. The 16th chapter of Leviticus will be our focal point as we prepare to study God's word. We believe that some powerful things are going to happen. This is an interesting chapter that we're going to be in, but we are claiming victory that God is going to reveal to us what he would have for us in this study. And so we're grateful for each of you. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is good as we prepare for this time together tonight. Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and Lady Kim is trying to make sure that she's lined up, but let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that everything is coming through all right. All right. Let's see. I'm going to let you operate that. Did you close out your apps and everything, Lady Kim? I don't know what's going on with it.
Well, we're probably just on stream.
You got a lot of apps still open. You probably need just.
I don't know how to do that, so you can do that for me.
Okay.
All right. As he's closing those out, and we get ready for a Bible study. This was an interesting day, a day that does not happen very often. Today was a total eclipse day that comes, I think the last one was in 2017 that we were able to experience. And where we are from, it's where we're situated in Memphis, Tennessee. It only comes around ever so often. And so we're just thankful that we were able to experience it on today. So praise God for that. I hope you all had your glasses on, your special glasses, and were able to see the partial eclipse. I think here in Memphis, we got a 98% view of the eclipse. And so myself and my coworkers, we went out into the parking lot, and it was an amazing and glorious sight. So I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to witness an almost total eclipse. It got cooler outside. Even one of my coworkers started, brought to our attention that the birds started chirping once the sun was blocked by the moon, because they thought it was mid-morning, or you know, the dawn rising. And so because they thought the dawn, the birds thought the dawn was rising, then they were chirping. So again we just thank God for that opportunity.
All right, well, let's have prayer, Lady Kim, as we log on, and hopefully everybody is on board as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for your presence, and we thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We're grateful for you continuing to bless us even in spite of ourselves. We ask the Lord that you will yet endow us with your Holy Spirit power, that we might get clarity in terms of what you are saying to us through your word. We ask, dear Lord, that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so we yet give you praise in advance. And we thank you for what we are going to hear tonight. We know that our faith is going to increase because you've already decreed it, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we love you tonight and we honor you. and we bless your name. Thank you for each person that's going to participate and be a part of this time together tonight. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And those who love God said, amen. You can enter your number there, or and they'll send you a thing. All right. Well, even as we're preparing to get started here tonight, we're certainly grateful for each of you. Somebody let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us tonight as we prepare for this time. Here it is, the 8th day of April. A lot has happened since Resurrection Sunday. And there was, of course, the last Sunday in March. And now we are right in the middle of April and moving forward. And so we praise God for how he's going to sustain us for this month and for what yet lies ahead. All right. Well, Lady Kim, is it showing up on the Facebook page?
No, we're not.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
I'm sure we're on the streaming side, so.
Yeah, they're saying we're experiencing technical difficulties, so. You were you able to get your.
No. Mm-mm.
You know your password.
I thought I did, but it's not working.
It's a code that they sent you to your phone that you had to enter.
They didn't send anything.
That is up there at the top.
All right.
So that's what you had to enter in.
Create a new password. So we're not on, we're not logged on yet.
Go ahead and get your new password. You have to write it down so you can remember it. But you already know what you're going to put in.
I already know.
Oh, okay. You got it like that. I have to write mine down because too many passwords and too many numbers. Let's go over to the app and let's see what's happening there.
Said something went wrong. You have to try again later.
So. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, there
it is. All right. We're on the streaming side, so mm-hmm. We just thank God for being on the streaming side. We don't know what's going on with Facebook on tonight. Amen. We just got word that the streaming side is good, so thank God for streaming. I just got through talking about the eclipse.
Yeah, I heard you talking about it, but...
were you able to see the eclipse?
No, I was not able to experience that.
Oh, it was awesome.
Okay. So what's the takeaway for you from that in terms of the awesomeness of the eclipse?
That God is awesome because no man could arrange that. Only God could. So God is just a super amazing God. No man could go up to the sky and push the moon in front of the sun. So that's all in God's timing.
Okay. And I think it's, we won't try to move into that because we'll be ended up going down a rabbit hole. But I think there's a lot more to it than just seeing that that eclipse happen as it relates to the spiritual component of that whole process. Because you'll recall that while Jesus was on the cross, it was dark, and that was an eclipse, you know. And so it's a whole lot that we can think about as it relates to the spirituality of that, but it's really not, I don't think, of significance for the believer as it relates to a meaning that we can really take away from it other than what you just described in terms of the awesomeness of God and that nobody could do something like that but God. Man cannot do cause an eclipse to take place or put things in a situation in the orbit so that they said they can get credit for it. But that was nobody but God. And so it's amazing how we know that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts far exceed our thoughts. And so we yet thank God for being able to witness that. And it's going to be another, 20, 40 years or so before it happens again?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
When the next one. The last one was in 2017, so that was, 8 years ago?
I'm not sure.
7 years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't count past 8, so I don't know what that means.
It was 7 years ago.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're live, and there's a something posted on the Facebook page to direct people to the live streaming side. So let's go ahead and get started, Lady Kim. That was that's about 15 minutes where we've been talking about the eclipse, and so we're going to talk tonight in that 16th chapter. But we want to first of all talk a little bit about what happened on yesterday in our worship experience. Did you have an opportunity to take any notes yesterday as we were celebrating the Sunday after Easter?
Your sermon topic was Behind Closed Doors.
Okay.
From John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 20. When it talked about when being the first day of the week and the doors were shut, and how the disciples and the Jews were fearful, that Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and saying unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord.
Okay.
So, you know, they were all shut in and locked up and locked down and scared because of what had happened to Jesus, and they didn't know if the same thing was going to happen to them.
That's right. That's right.
And Jesus showed himself to the disciples. And you had some points, but I don't think you got, I think you got to the first point that, we have to place faith over fear. You know, sometimes when we're fearful in different situations, we have to place, faith over fear, you know, a place where we have done everything in our power, but we still haven't seen God work on our behalf. We haven't seen God show up yet. Then that's when our faith needs to really kick in strong, knowing that God will make a way somehow. Wasn't that a song? The Lord will make a way somehow.
I think so. I think it was.
Way beneath the cross, I bow.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's when our faith needs to kick in.
I thought you was going to go ahead and start singing that.
No, not tonight.
Okay. But part of that parallels with what was happening with these disciples, because they were really terrified. And as you indicated, perhaps thinking the same thing was going to happen to them. And so they were still in hiding. This was the eve of the resurrection. And they were not sure in terms of what was going on outside of those closed doors that they were behind. And so it is with many of us. When we face different situations and different circumstances, we might not be behind a physical closed door, but we close ourselves off to being used by God. We close ourselves off to being willing to trust God in those difficult moments in our lives where it looks just the opposite of what we are expecting God to do in our situations. And so the relevance for believers is that even though we may be fearful, even though we may be scared, even though we might not know the actual outcome of what's going to happen, we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so we have to trust God even in those difficult and delicate moments in our lives when, if we all be honest with ourselves, we have been afraid at some point in our lives, and we're really not clear in terms of what the outcome would be. But when we look back over our lives and we begin to think things over, and we go back into our faith file, and we see that the same God who brought us through the last situation that looked like it was not going to end favorably, he's the same God who's able to see us through this situation. So we have no reason to fear or to fret, but we can trust the timing of God.
Amen.
And we know indeed that he's an on-time God. And he reassured these disciples, and he also gave them evidence of the fact that it was him who they had seen. Now, I don't know. Some people feel like they walk through a door and make themselves visible. But that was a tremendous miracle right there in and of itself for them to see that happen. And then he showed them the evidence of what had happened on that Friday, and how he hung on the cross all day Saturday and buried him in a borrowed tomb. You know that story, right?
I know it well.
But early, somebody shout early. That Sunday morning, he got up with all power. So this was the eve of all of that transpiring the weekend. And so I didn't mean to just take away your time in terms of your notes there, Reverend, but I know you had a couple more things that you wanted to say.
Well, you know, and also, you know, when the enemy begins to mess with your mind, and you sometimes we begin to wonder, is it really worth it all?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, right.
But like you said, we have a faith file with God, that he's brought us a mighty long way, not part of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not a mighty long way. He's brought us all
the way. All the way. All the way.
And so we don't need to doubt God, because we know he's done it before. He can do it again.
That's right. Uh-huh.
So God is awesome. You know, the disciples gathered in fear. They were locked. They were locked in, but God wasn't locked out.
That's right. That's right.
So we thank God for that. The disciples were weary and wounded and fearful, but Jesus stepped in and showed them evidence.
Okay.
That he was who he said he was.
He was with them.
Yes,
right?
He was with them.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Okay. And what else do you have?
Well, that's about it, you know. Mm-hmm. We know that everything is going to be all right, because
yeah.
God is with us.
That's
he's
right.
Emmanuel. He's
that's right.
with us. He's in us. He works through us. And so because of that, because we know him, then we know that everything going to be all right.
So many times we find ourselves with our back up against the wall and in a predicament that looks like it's not going to work out and on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
We have to maintain a level of composure and not allow our fear to override our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And so that's the overarching message. Even though I didn't get to all of the points, it was obvious in that text that those were the things that were coming through in terms of giving us a connection to what it might look like, even though we don't experience the same kind of trauma or the same kind of things that the disciples experience. We too have situations where it looks like things are not going to turn out, but and it feels as if we are shut out and we're locked in. But we know that even though that might be the case, God can still come in and see about us.
Amen. And, you know, a lot of times we look for things to happen in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we're disappointed when we don't see it coming to fruition in that particular way. But, you know, God is not like man. He doesn't work in the ordinary. He works in the extraordinary or the extraordinary. And so when God shows up, he going to show out every time.
That's right.
So
that's
we
right.
just thank God for all that he's done in the past, because we know that whatever we stand in need of, he shall deliver it again.
My. All right. Well, look like we're having difficulty on the streaming side now. Reverend, there it is. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into this 16th chapter. Do you need that to kind of help you got you through, or you just trying to wait to see if it's going to come back?
I was just waiting to see if it was going to come back online.
Okay. Well, last week we were in the 15th chapter, and we discussed several things in that 15th chapter as it relates to God really setting things in order in terms of continuing this whole process of talking about sin, talking about that which is clean and unclean. He's talking about the purification and what needs to happen in terms of us reconciling, I guess would be a word, with God and repenting of whatever it is that we need. And so we find that in the case of Moses and Aaron and his sons, that they were kind of the pace setters, if you will, in setting and establishing the order that God was trying to put in place for the children of Israel. And so this 16th chapter really kind of sets a whole nother mindset, because some people were almost taking advantage of the grace of God and deciding that they were going to do things their own way. So God had to set an example with two of Aaron's sons, I believe it was, and trying to help them know that he was not going to just allow any and everything to happen and people feel as if they getting away with something with God.
Amen. And when you mention about Aaron's sons, you know, that happened in the 10th chapter. And they're going to mention a little bit about the death of Aaron's sons at the beginning. But in the 10th chapter, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they took the incense and burned it in their censers. And it was an unauthorized offering. And fire came down. God was not pleased with what they were doing,
right,
because he had not told them to do so. And so fire came down from heaven and consumed them. God was angry with them. And so it just mentioned a little bit about when this starts out, it talks about after the death of Aaron's sons. And
right,
so that's what happened to Aaron's sons. You know, the sacrifices were unpleasing to God.
Right, right, right. And so that's part of people kind of taking advantage of the grace of God and the mercy of God and not clearly following the divine instruction. I'm always of the belief that obedience brings reward. And when we yield ourselves to do what God requires of us and try our very best to do it in a way that he would have us to do it, that God will honor our faith, and then he would give us wisdom if we ask for wisdom. James tells us that we ought to ask for wisdom, because God is able to give us the wisdom that we need. Many times people don't ask for wisdom in situations, and they just go off half-cocked and deciding that they're going to do it their way and do it the way they think would, you know, what pleases them rather than what pleases God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. So there are about 29 verses here, 34 verses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's a lot there, but part of what, you have some more reference before we jump into this, because part of what I see and part of what I pulled up was that this describes the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want to, where the high priest made sacrifices for sin for the people, and really, when we look at that as it relates to us as believers today, we can apply this principle that's found here in this chapter by understanding that Jesus Christ is our ultimate high priest, who offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins.
Amen. Amen.
And part of what you see being expressed in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and it makes reference to that, and it tells us that through the atoning sacrifice of the cross, we have forgiveness and we have reconciliation with God. And so this Day of Atonement that we're going to look at here, it serves as a reminder for us to humbly acknowledge our sins, confess our sins, ask God for forgiveness, and then embrace the atonement provided by Jesus. And it also encourages us as believers to live our lives in such a way that we fulfill what God has assigned to us to do, to the very best of our ability, in following his direction and yielding to his lead. But the other part of it has to do with how we should not try to manipulate God's grace and his mercy and his love and decide that we're going to do things our way and not do things the way that God would have us to do it. because of the ultimate sacrifice that was demonstrated through Jesus's sacrificial death on the cross, then our behavior should match our belief in him.
Amen.
And so that's why the resurrection is so important. You know, and I sometimes people look at that as an event rather than an experience. And that's, I say that a lot, but it should be something that happens, something that we realize every day and not just to wait
once
for
a year.
Once a year for us to really get excited, because that's the lifeblood of the church. That's where we get our power. That's where we understand the awesome sacrifice that was paid. It was what happened early that Easter Sunday morning. Well, what happened that whole weekend, you know, and not just that weekend, but what happened the whole entirety of Jesus's walk on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, the first 11 verses of that, of this 16th chapter, talk about the sacrifices for the Day of Atonement. You know, and now the Day of Atonement is recognized as Yom Kippur in the Jewish culture. So in the first 11 verses of that 16th chapter, God spoke to Moses following the death of Aaron's two sons in the tabernacle and told him to instruct Aaron not to enter the most holy place except under very specific conditions.
That's right.
And he told Aaron's sons the same thing.
Right, right.
How to dress, what to do when they went in. But Aaron's sons, again, just, you know, went outside of God's instruction, and they paid the ultimate cost, which was their lives. And when it came time for Aaron to enter the most holy place, he was to clothe himself in priestly garments and take a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering into the tabernacle. From the people, he was to take two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. The bull was to be offered as a sin offering for Aaron's house. Aaron was then to take the two goats and cast lots over them. The goat, the unlucky goat, which was selected by the lot, was used as the sin offering. That was the one that was killed. And the other was presented to the Lord to make atonement and then set free into the wilderness. Some Bibles have Azrael and some have Aziel. So, you know, and I tried to find out who Aziel or Azrael was or what it was, but the identity of Azrael or Aziel is a real debated topic, and it's only, that name is only mentioned in the 16th chapter of Leviticus. So we don't find it anymore in the Bible where this word is found. And some suggested Azrael or Aziel is the name of a place. Some say it is the name of a demon or a fallen angel. But they really don't know who or what Aziel or Azrael really was. It's only mentioned that one time in the Bible. And so I just wanted, you know, to mention that because I thought it was interesting.
Okay, all right. Because how many verses are you going to try to read? I think we've kind of pretty much did a recap. But
yes, that was from 1 through 11.
Okay.
Yes.
And then what happens after the 11th verse? Do you have any?
Yes, I have verses 12 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron was to take the fire from the bronze altar and burn two handfuls of incense in front of the most holy place, so that the smoke covered the mercy seat. He was then to take some of the bull's blood on his finger and sprinkle it in front of the mercy seat. Now, you know, some people may not remember what the mercy seat was. And the mercy seat was the gold lid from the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
Remember the box of the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the tablets that Moses had received from God. They were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. And that is where they said God resided. Okay. You know, that was the holy place, the Ark of the Covenant. And that mercy seat was the top of the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. And it had two cherubims on each end facing one another.
Okay, we need to have a visual of that, because that's really descriptive in terms of, for the Old Testament understanding of the importance of the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that, of course, Jesus came to fulfill that which was not revealed.
Right.
And he opened that up for us in the New Testament. But the descriptive nature of the Ark and the importance and the significance of how you handle the Ark. And then, as you were saying earlier, how he had instructed Aaron not to just be going in and out of the temple at any time and doing things. It was had to be a prescribed time, and it had to be for a special occasion based upon the, I think, the order that God was trying to establish back then.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I don't mean to keep, I was just, as you were expressing that the thoughts were coming to me,
mm-hmm.
about how many times, and the relevance, really, of us making sure that, I think what God is establishing, something that continued to, you know, travel down through the corridors of history, and with Jesus coming as the ultimate sacrifice, of course, we can see that there are some other attachments to how we ought to behave and how we ought to handle the things of God, and how we need to be clear that that's serious business when it comes to what God requires of us. God is a God of order, and he wants us to handle his business in a fashion, in a way that brings glory and honor to his name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So, you know, again, verses 12 through 28 just talked about those sacrifices, mm-hmm. and how Aaron was to do those sacrifices. And it says, no one but the high priest allowed in the tabernacle while this was happening. When it was complete, Aaron was to put some of the blood on the bronze altar to atone for it, just as he had atoned for the most holy place and the rest of the tabernacle. Then Aaron was to take the second goat, the one which the lot had not fallen, and confess all the sins of Israel over it while his hands were placed on his head. God said the goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness.
Hmm.
So Aaron was to lay hands on the goat and confess the sins of Israel on that goat and then let him go. And so following this, then Aaron was to bathe himself and offer the burnt offerings for himself and the burnt offering for the nation. And the man who came to get the goat and take him out into the wilderness was to bathe himself before entering the camp. And so you know, that goat that they sent out into the wilderness, mm-hmm. was called the scapegoat. Okay. And so that's where we get that word scapegoat, when somebody say he was the scapegoat. Say, for instance, two guys that, you know, committed a crime,
mm-hmm.
and one takes the fall for the other. Well, okay. he'd be the scapegoat, because okay. he's taking the blame for something that he didn't actually do. So, yeah, that's where we get scapegoat from. Okay. A lot of times we say things and we don't even know what the origin or the meaning of it really is.
Okay.
Because I used to hear that a lot way back in the day.
It'd be like that.
Not a scapegoat.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't want no trouble.
Well, a scapegoat is
it's somebody who make that sacrifice and willing to commit and say, I did it, and so somebody else could go free.
Yes, absolutely.
So that goat was, and I was thinking as you were talking about, they had to release him,
mm-hmm.
and that was part of a releasing of the iniquities and the sins, mm-hmm. that had been committed, and Aaron was the vehicle which God used to almost like a transference, if you will, of those sins upon this goat so that he could go out into the wilderness. And such it is with us and Jesus. When we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, and he's merciful. And he cast our sins, he cast them away from us in the sea of unforgetfulness. If it's, what is it, forgetfulness or unforgetfulness?
Forgetfulness. In the sea of, we want to forget it. So it's the sea of forgetfulness.
Right.
And unforgetfulness means we're not going
to
forget.
Well, in the sea of forgetfulness, right. And we don't have to continue to rehearse that which God has already right. walked away from or released. And many times I think what the enemy tries to do is remind us of what God has already released us from. And so we keep rehearsing that hurt and that pain and all of the things that we think that we should do something to, you know, get free from, when God has already set us free.
He's already set us free.
It's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord, that I'll bring these things to pass. So we have to trust God, and we have to trust in the totality of the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
And the sacrifice that was paid for our sins.
Amen. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross.
That's right. Absolutely.
And rise with all power in his hands. Because, you know, when they took that goat and the priest put the sins on the goat and sent it out in the wilderness, the goat was still out there wandering around with the sins on it.
Absolutely.
You know?
They didn't kill it. They released
it. They released him. Right. And so sin was still there, so to speak, you know. But Jesus came and died on the cross. He took all the sins
of
mankind. And so our sins died with Christ.
That's
Christ
right.
rose
That's
victoriously
right. That's
with
it.
All power in his hands. So the New Testament tells us that these animal sacrifices didn't truly have the effect of atoning for sin, because, you know, those animals were still out there.
Right.
And
right.
Jesus was the true atonement for our sins. The
ultimate sacrifice.
Right, right. Hebrews 10 and 4 says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats
That's right.
to take away sin. The scapegoat which was sent off into the wilderness was a perfect illustration of this reality.
Right.
It carried the sin of the Israelites away into the wilderness, but it was still alive out there somewhere. The problem of sin still needed to be dealt with once and for all."
Mm-hmm.
That is what Jesus did on the cross.
My, my, my. And Isaiah, I like the way he puts it. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we'll heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to carry that which God has already released us from. But the enemy wants to remind you of your past to keep you hostage and not advancing in the destiny that God has for your life.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So those last few verses talk about a statue forever. That's Leviticus 16:29-34.
Okay.
You know, and as I stated before, this Day of Atonement is known today as Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up what day Yom Kippur was, you know, because it's observed by the Jews every year, excuse me, on the 10th day of the 7th month. So this year, 2024, it will be celebrated October the 11th through the 12th.
Okay.
So
they have a festive celebration around that?
It's not really a festive celebration. It's not a festive celebration at all. It's a time for, again, atonement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, they're not killing bulls, sacrificing goats and bulls. So Yom Kippur is a time where they reflect on their sinfulness. They ask God to take away and forgive them of their sins. They fast from, they're going to fast from October the 11th, sunrise, to October the 12th, sunset. They fast for 25 hours, and they not only fast, they don't eat anything, they don't drink anything, they don't even drink water. And they are to abstain from sexual activity, abstain from work, you know, work that's not necessary. And so they just are really focusing on atoning, asking God to forgive them of their sins.
Okay. All right.
That's the Jewish, you know, and so they were abstained, and the day is dedicated to their cleansing from sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. It's not a time to, it's not like Hanukkah, where they give gifts and they remember the Passover and they eat a big Passover meal and all. It's not like that. It's just the opposite.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great, and that's rich history, and it reminds me of what happened that Monday Thursday that we call what Jesus was in the upper room, and he shared with the disciples a very important lesson for them to remember, and as often as we partake of the emblems that represents his sacrifice. The blood as well as the brokenness of his body. He says, often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And so some people observe that once a month, others, like we do in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, observe it each Sunday. Many times people can lose the importance and the significance of why we're doing that, but it's a reminder of what the awesome, then the ultimate sacrifice was for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, what kind of lesson would you have for us to close out? Anything in terms of a thought that we can take away from this particular lesson tonight?
Well, that just God is a good God. He's a loving God, and because God is loving, that we're not to take his holiness lightly.
Okay.
We're not to take God for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is not like a permissive parent that just smiles when his children misbehave.
Okay.
You know, that's one thing that really irks my nerve is when someone's child is misbehaving and they think it's cute,
mm-hmm.
or they want to giggle and laugh at it, you know. But God is not like that. He doesn't giggle and laugh and wink at our misbehavior.
Okay.
You know, we are punished for our misbehavior. And the same God who prepares the lake of fire for those that disregard his direction prepares a place in heaven for those that love and obey him.
Wow.
So it's not safe to fool around with God.
That's right.
We know what
it's
happened to Aaron's
business.
Sons,
right.
You know. God was not pleased with their behavior.
That's
so
right.
We have to be careful. I'm not saying that God will kill anybody or God will strike somebody, but the Bible definitely tells us that God chastens those whom he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is not to be trifled with. God is good, and he's dangerous. Dangerous because we're not good.
Uh-oh.
Amen. And we're not to take God's holiness lightly.
That's good. That's good. And that's part of what we were trying to allude to when we talk about how, as believers today, we have to deepen our understanding of God's grace and his love and his mercy, and particularly the love that was demonstrated through Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrificial death of him on the cross on our behalf.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, I think that's a good place to close it out tonight. Even though we've had technical difficulties, we hope those of you who are on the streaming side are getting this information, and we hope that it has been a blessing to you tonight, and that our faith indeed has increased. And so you don't have to go try to get a bull. You don't have to go try to get any pigeons. You don't have to go and try to fix it yourself. You know, you can fix it even if you wanted to. You don't even have to die, you know, because Christ has already did all of that. And so we can rejoice in the fact, and you talked about our behavior, and our behavior ought to match the belief that we have. And many times when you see Christians or believers acting a certain way, it's evidence of their belief in God, how much they really, the maturity level, I'll put it that way, of what they believe about God.
Amen.
And so we have to be clear in terms of us understanding that and walking in the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given us, so that we won't have to go back and repeat some things that we've done in the past. And remember, the enemy is active. He's busy. The devil is out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But no weapon, somebody shout, no weapon.
Hallelujah.
No weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. And so you've got to believe that even though it might look like he's got the upper hand, we know that Jesus has already paid the price.
Yes, he has.
And that the devil is already defeated. Somebody ought to say the devil
Amen.
Is already
the devil
defeated.
Is defeated.
And so I just praise God for it. That's why the resurrection is so key and so central for us to remind and then just reflect. And that's part of what you were talking about with this celebration in October that the Jews participate in.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, what prayer requests do you have, Lady Kim? And I know you have some other exciting news that you want to share with us tonight.
I do?
Yes. We'll just wait till you finish up with everything else, and then you can share that with us.
Oh, we want to continue to lift up Brother Jerry Frazier and Minister mm-hmm. Sherry Frazier and the loss of his sister, Cassandra Davis.
Right.
That funeral service was held this past weekend in Monroe, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to lift up Mother Pearl Manning and Sister Georgia, Minister Georgia Rucker and Brother Maurice Rucker in the loss of that nephew, a 15-year-old, I don't know if he was 15, but he was a senior in high school, basketball player, and collapsed and his heart stopped. And our hearts just go out to that family in the loss of Cameron Ward. That funeral is this coming Saturday in Clarksville, Tennessee. Dr. Carolyn Butler, we want to continue to keep her family lifted in prayer in the loss of her sister, Pamela Treadwell. It's difficult when you lose a loved one, you know.
Absolutely.
And there'll be times of sadness, but there'll be times of great joy when you remember your loved ones who have gone on. So we just thank God for that, and we pray for each and every person who's on our sick and shut-in list.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Any other things you want to share with us?
This weekend we will have our leadership meeting. It's mm-hmm. it's for ministry leaders only, correct? Or
you, the executive pastor, you let me know.
I was waiting on your
You haven't sent your announcement out yet.
No, I haven't.
Is there anything particular that you need the others to be abreast of as it relates?
Only the calendar, mm-hmm. you know, calendar events, which are not many.
Well, it probably wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt for everybody to hear what you're going to share with ministry leaders, because sometimes you know how it is. You can tell somebody on this side of the table one thing, and by the time it gets around there,
it's something
else. It's altogether different.
Right.
So we don't want to. We want everybody to show up.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So that means everybody will be there on...
Everybody. That's right.
We'll be there this Saturday.
That's right. And ministers, the ministers at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Right.
Ministry leaders and volunteers and spiritual officers and the likes, everybody else.
Everybody.
At 10 o'clock.
This is our spiritual huddle.
Amen.
Every month in terms of us being clear on our signals. Because just like with South Carolina's women's basketball team winning the national championship on last night, I tell you, that was an amazing feat. But then to hear the coach express her unapologetically love for Christ and how they were there last year this time and didn't make it. And she said something in reference to how God has to sometimes... take it all away and then allow you to go back through, because she lost her whole team, you know, either through graduation or through going to the WNBA. And people had written them off in terms of them being able to make it back to the big game. And sure enough, I tell you, she just celebrated Jesus and she was just so caught up. You were sleeping real hard back then. I didn't want to wake you up. We started out watching it together. But no, it was, and she went 36-0, didn't lose a game.
Not a game. That was awesome. Tell you,
that's amazing. And yes. So she was a former player herself and played down in Tennessee under Pat Summitt and went to the WNBA and was a star there. And this is her third championship at South Carolina. And so it was just a joyful time. Just watching it, you could feel the emotion and the expression of gratitude even through the television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the women's basketball leagues have gaining more excitement and momentum than the men's leagues.
And they're on tonight getting ready to play for the national championship. But that was a great time. And so we praise God for it. That tells us a lot about how, you know, even though it might not work out the first time, even though it might look like you're not going to be able to get through whatever it is you're faced with, and the odds might be stacked against you, that you got to still trust God. And this lady, I mean, she really, when you look back at it, she was all the way wild about Jesus. And so some people in the comments, what I read today, was saying, you know, how could she do that? Why would she do that? You know, national TV. She didn't bear down. She didn't let up.
That's
she was
good.
All the way live.
That's good.
You know.
I'm glad she let her light shine.
Yeah, she was preaching.
But, you know, sometimes God has to say not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that we'll just work a little harder.
That's
or
right.
That we'll focus a little bit harder on the things that he has for us. So don't give up. God is still on the throne and your time is coming and your turn is coming.
That's right.
Just hang on in there just a little while longer. Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, just a word of thanks as we prepare to close out for the weekend of the things that we had and, you know, trying to raise money for cancer awareness and also the celebration, the gala that happened on Friday, where you were one of the keynote speakers at the All Pink Gala Affair of Survivors. Is that right?
Yes.
And you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
You were. I felt the spirit trying to push you, but you were thinking that you were supposed to speak and not preach. But no, you did a great job, and many people were blessed by your testimony. And you even brought back some things that I had kind of lost, you know, in terms of how that whole process happened. But God has been faithful and he's been kind. And then on Saturday, y'all had a good group from the church to go to the Sister Strut. And this is probably one of the largest ones they've had. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to go this time.
Yeah, they had over 5,000 people there. So mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
Who was our team called? Team ATOP?
ATOP Women of Grace.
ATOP Women of Grace.
Yes.
Okay. So that was powerful. And then you got some news today about your defending of your dissertation. Is
yes,
that correct?
My defense will take place on next Tuesday, April the 16th.
Next Tuesday.
So I'm thankful for that.
So we're going to be praying for you. And you know what? When I found out, one of the things that came to my mind was that who better could defend your paper other than you?
Nobody.
That's right. That's it.
Right.
So
nobody. I'm gonna defend it to the end.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's
and we're
my
gonna,
work.
We're gonna put it in motion and make it happen. After you have walked across the stage, then that's not just to receive the diploma, but that's just to push you higher and fulfilling the things that you talked about
Amen.
In your paper. So
congratulations. It's already in motion.
Congratulations.
Amen. Thank you.
Congratulations.
It's in motion. Working.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Well, you ready to close us out with prayer?
Sure.
All right.
Gracious God in heaven, we bless you and we honor you for allowing us this opportunity to come to you in study, in prayer, in reflection, in worship, in praise. We ask God that you would just stop by and touch those who are bereaved tonight, God. Touch Dr. Butler and her family. Touch Mother Pearl Manning and the Rucker family. Touch Brother Jerry Frazier and his family. And any others, oh God, that we don't know about. God, lift up a special prayer for Tevin Cato and his family tonight, God, in the situation that they're dealing with. And God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just intervene right now. You are God and God alone, so we trust and lean on you. And God, we thank you for healing and for allowing Anthony Hanley, our nephew, to be placed in a rehabilitation center so he can learn to walk again. We thank you for giving Gloria Palmer, his mother, the relief that she needs and the respite that she needs so that she might be able to gain strength and go forward. And now, God, we thank you for our church and our pastor and all, oh God, that you have set down for our hearts and hands to do. We love you and we thank you for being with us and going before us. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen. All right. Amen. Praise God.
Good night, everybody.
Be blessed.
See you next week.